Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.
And if it weren't for Christ in our midst, we would have no hope. The ungodly man says in his heart, and I'm reading Psalm 9:34. The ungodly man says in his heart, "You," speaking to God, "will never hold me to account for this." It's a very bold assertion, a proud assertion. "You will not hold me to account for this." God's people don't always so crassly say that out loud with their mouth, but they certainly live like it. How often don't we fall into sin and say, "Oh, it's all right, you're not going to hold me to account for this. I'm just a man, I'm just a woman, I'm weak, you know I'm weak. You're not going to hold me to account for this. I've just finished reading through the prophet Jeremiah, and then his helper, the one who wrote for him, Baruch. And I noticed that again and again, the false prophets were saying, "We're fine. God is going to protect us. Don't worry about Babylon or Nebuchadnezzar. God loves us. He takes care of us. We're fine." And that's just what King Zedekiah wanted to hear. And then there's Jeremiah. He kept saying, "People, God is going to judge us. And he's going to do it through King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. So I'm telling you, if you don't repent and turn to God seeking his mercy and grace, you are going to be judged and terribly punished for all of your wickedness." And, you know, this wasn't just a matter of the people of Israel at that time not having pure hearts, failing now and then and saying, "Oh, Lord, have mercy." They weren't saying, "Lord, have mercy." They were going to the gods of the land of Canaan. And they were saying, "You know what?" Matter of fact, they were even saying, "Why should we worry about God, Yahweh, the Lord, when the gods of the Canaanites are doing fine for us? We pray for them for rain, and we get rain. We pray for good crops and we get them." And that kind of reminds me of the time we were missionaries in Mexico. And the native people were very animistic. They might tell you that they were Roman Catholics, or they might not. But they prayed to their own animistic gods. And they had it timed just right, just before rainy season started. They would go to their gods and they'd pray for rain. And they would go and make noises, hit their cymbals, they would have these times of getting drunk and call the shaman. And sure enough, they'd get rain. It works. Jeremiah said, "They turned their back to me," speaking for God. "They turned their back to me and not their face. I taught them early in the morning. Yes, I taught them, but they did not listen to take hold of the instruction." And so Jeremiah told them, "Give yourself over to the Babylonians. Let them take Jerusalem. And then you will have a measure of peace." And they would not. And so finally the king of Babylon came and destroyed Jerusalem. destroyed the temple, burned it down, and desecrated the holy things of God. Jeremiah said judgment. There was a time, there was a chapter though where I finally came to something where Jeremiah gave good news of restoration and grace. He said, after judgment, God, as a God of mercy and compassion, will restore you. He will restore you. I thought, oh, there we go. Now Jeremiah sounds just like the false prophet. You know what was different between Jeremiah's prophecy of God's mercy and compassion and the prophecy of the false prophets? Do you know what the difference was? Jeremiah said that you're going to come back into the promised land, but God's grace is going to come to you through judgment because you do not turn your hard hearts to Him. Jeremiah said, yes, judgment, and yes, deliverance. But deliverance and healing come through judgment. The positive value of judgment is that it leads us to repentance. And if it doesn't, then there's no hope for us. God's judgment is meant to lead us to turn from sin to righteousness, to turn from death to life, and to turn from the false gods to the true and living God. In our passage this morning, Jesus spoke of Himself being the judge who sits on the throne. And it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of God's anger and judgment. That is, if we're not ready. There are going to be people who are ready for God's judgment. And the question is, what are we to do? What is it that God is looking for in our lives? How can we prepare for the time of judgment? Because God is going to judge. I think of the words that the priest or the deacon says, inviting people to come and partake of the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. And we say, with the fear of God, with faith and love, draw near. With the fear of God, with faith and love, draw near. We don't deny the judgment. We don't deny the fear of standing before God as judge. But the fear that God is looking for is a fear that issues forth in faith and love. Fear, not the kind of fear that paralyzes one, but the fear that wakes us up. It says, you know what? I'm coming into the presence of God, and it's something to take seriously. So we come with that kind of fear. But then we come in faith. I don't know if you have been listening to these songs we've been singing. I went through, and I could only find one. Did I miss any? There's a lot of them. I only found one that didn't specifically say, either in the middle or toward the end, but Thou, O God, art a God of compassion and mercy, and be merciful to me. I cast myself on your mercy. That's what God is looking for. You know, we had the Sunday of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and both of them came into the presence of God. Remember, the Pharisee, he came and he stood very boldly before God and said, you know, God, I'm glad I'm not like that guy over there, that tax collector. But did you ever think that the tax collector also came into the temple? He came boldly too, but he came with a different kind of boldness. How could he, the tax collector, dare to come into the presence of God, to dare to set his foot in the temple? He came. But his boldness was one that was born of knowing God's mercy and compassion. He came as one who boldly in his humility sought for God's mercy and God's compassion, and he received it. I'm going to read one of those hymns that we sang, and this really is very much like all the others. It's the Doxastikon for the Sunday of the Last Judgment. It was in last night's Vesper service. Woe to thee, O darkened soul, for how long wilt thou not cease from evil doing? How long wilt thou lie down in idleness? Why thinkest thou not on the fearful hour of death? And why tremblest thou not at all at the terrible altar of the Savior? What perchance shalt thou reply, or what reason give, when thy deeds shall rise to reproach thee, and thy works to condemn and confute thee? Wherefore, O my soul, the time is at hand. Hasten in faith before it is too late, and cry, I have sinned against thee, O Lord, I have sinned. But I know thy compassion, O good shepherd, lover of mankind. Forbid me not, therefore, to stand at thy right hand, for the multitude of thy mercies, the multitude of my transgressions, meet with the multitude of God's mercies. And it's with that humble boldness that we come before God. I'm going to read for you what the priest says just before we come before Christ to receive his body and the blood. It's the prayer of consecration that the priest prays. He says, again we offer unto thee this reasonable and unbloody service, and beseech thee and pray thee and supplicate thee. Send down thy Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these gifts, the body, the bread and the wine, and upon these gifts here spread forth, but send the Holy Spirit upon us too. And make this bread the precious body of thy Christ, and that which is in this cup the precious blood of thy Christ, changing them by thy Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, amen. And listen to this, that to those who shall partake thereof, they may be unto cleansing of soul, unto remission of sins, unto the communion of thy Holy Spirit, unto the fulfillment of the kingdom of heaven, unto boldness toward thee, and not unto condemnation or judgment. We do not claim to be without sin. We do not claim to be worthy to come and receive God's body and blood. If we do that, we're not ready. We shouldn't. But we come because we know that we need cleansing of our soul. We know that we need remission of our sins. We know that we need the Holy Spirit. So we ask in humility. But we come with a humble boldness. So we come unto boldness toward thee. Open unto me the gates of repentance, O giver of life, for early in the morning my spirit hastens to your temple. Notice where the Spirit leads us. Hastens to your temple, bringing the temple of my body all defiled. But as one compassionate, cleanse me, I pray, by your loving kindness and mercy. God, is the only one who can open those gates and invite us to come in. He opens the gates of repentance. And that means that we enter. Repentance is turning away from death to life, turning away from our sins to God, and entering into His loving presence. So what is it that shows that we're doing this? I mean, you can say, well, okay, I come with a lot of sin. What about the beginning of God's grace in our life? There has to be a beginning, and that certainly is humility. But God is looking for us to love. Does that go without saying? Probably. Come with the fear of God, with faith and love. It's not going to be a love that can change everything around us. You know, St. John Chrysostom pointed out that the Lord said, what I'm looking for is that you show love to one who is in prison. And how do you do that? You go see him. You go visit him. Jesus doesn't say, and you got me out of prison. No, you don't have to get him out. You don't have to release him, but you visit him. One who is hungry, and you give him something to eat. Does that mean that you have to feed him for the rest of your life? He's in a spot of need. He's in a place of need, so you feed him. Thirsty, you give him a drink. He needs clothes, so you give him something to wear. These are really simple acts of love. And that's what we are called for. Jesus said, I'm looking for something that indicates that my Holy Spirit has really begun to do a work. A humble and gentle work in your heart. So we ask, Lord, come. Send your Holy Spirit upon me, upon us, and these gifts. Let us receive the oblation in peace. Amen.